In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that a person cannot become a perfect believer until I become more beloved to him than his father, his children, and all people. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. The word love in this hadith has been used, and this love, it doesn't refer to natural love, حب طبعي, that one feels for someone, because this love is beyond one's control. This refers to logical love, حب أقلي. And this love, it demands that a person give priority to what the intellect gives preference to, even if it goes against his personal desires. This is similar to the love a sick person has for medicine, who only consumes it because of the knowledge that it will benefit him, despite his natural disinclination towards it. Hence, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that a person fulfills his commands, fulfills Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, fulfills the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's commands despite natural inclinations not to. Knowing that true salvation, true benefit will come from following these commands. So this is called hubbe aqli. In this day and age, deen, to follow and adopt deen, has become extremely difficult. And this has prophesied, the Prophet ﷺ prophesied this 1400 years ago, more than 1400 years ago. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith, and this is the hadith that I mentioned, that a time will come upon the people when a person among them practicing his religion with perseverance will be like one clutching onto a cinder, a burning ember. And subhanallah, this is something that is very common now, that people who strive to follow the religion, they find it extremely difficult to adopt and follow religion. A woman who wants to dress modestly, who wants to wear the hijab, they are looked at with disdain. A man who wants to grow his beard, who wants to lengthen his beard, he is looked at with disdain. And they consider that a woman who adopts Islam as her identity, a man who adopts Islam as his identity, they are looked at strangely. But this is the case with Islam. Islam started in a strange manner. No one knew about it. The people of Makkah would make fun of the believers. إِنَّ الدِّينَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبٌ. That deen, it started strangely. وَسَيْعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ. And ultimately, it will revert back to this strangeness. People will find that people who are practicing deen, people who are practicing religion, they will consider them as strange people. So deen now has become very difficult to follow. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has mentioned وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ, that those who believe, they have extreme love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will continue to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul. And this is something that I spoke about this past Jum'ah, the importance of love, to make sure that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is firmly ingrained in our hearts. It should be inculcated in our hearts. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because without this love, we cannot display our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot follow the sunnah and the practices of the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was this love that the sahaba had which prompted them to calmly, when people would question that, why are you doing this? Why are you doing istinja? Why are you washing yourself? Why do you eat the morsel from the ground? So they would say with pride that it is because our beloved Prophet, my beloved Prophet, did this. My beloved Prophet, when the morsel fell to the ground, he would pick it up, recite Bismillah, and eat it. It was my beloved Prophet that he would raise his trousers, his tahband, and he would make sure that it is above the ankles for men. It was my beloved Prophet who ate in this certain way. It was my beloved Prophet who taught me how to correctly use the restroom. They would say it with pride. The Sahaba would say it with pride. Because of this love, they knew that following the Prophet ﷺ is ultimately following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had this love firmly ingrained. This is why they were so successful. This was the golden age of Islam. And this success, this golden age of Islam, was successful because this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was firmly imbued in their hearts. Great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, great love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next month is the month of Zilhijjah, and we know that many actions that are performed during the Hajj, this is to remember and commemorate the sacrifices of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Stoning of the shayateen, the jamarat. This is done in remembrance of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sacrificing an animal. This is performed. This is done to remember and commemorate Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and his intention of sacrificing his son. The Kaaba was found after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and tried Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, put him through various trials and tribulations. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him and his son the ultimate honor of rebuilding the Kaaba. This was because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam displayed this sacrifice. That when it came to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing stood in his way. There was nothing that could stand in Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's way. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala superseded everything. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was law for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. It did not matter to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that this goes against all logic. This goes against my love for my family, for my son. And this, after Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was tried and tested, he went through these trials and tribulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he has completed. Ibrahim was a person that completed all of his trials and all of his tribulations. This is the month of Zilhijjah, and the next month is the month of Zilhijjah, and these sacrifices of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam are remembered in this month. If we read the Quran, if we analyze the Quran, if we read it, we will witness the sacrifices the Anbiya and the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What prompted them to do this? It went against all logic, all reason. What prompted Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice his son? A son who was not a teenager, had not reached the age of maturity. But the hukum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test him. That was this man a slave of reason, or was he a slave of Allah? Was he a slave of logic and reason, or was he a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam truly was a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because logic and reason did not come before Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sacrifice his son, and he did exactly that. And this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he passed these tests with flying colors. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked and told Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that you will leave your family in Makkah, in a wilderness, in a desert, in a dissolute area, nothing there, no water, no food, with a child who is yet a baby. He did exactly that, and he left them. He did this, he left his wife, he left his child, and he left. This was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, logic and reason would dictate to us that how was this possible? How could a husband who is recently married, who has had a child, how could he leave his wife? How can he leave his child? Logic and reason dictates that a husband stay with them. But in front of the command, in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did not question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left them. This was love. This was love that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All prophets had this love. And this is the only way we can follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. Whether we are mocked, ridiculed at school, mocked at the workplace, or made fun of, if we have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, then whatever we do, whether it is offering salat at our workplace, dressing a certain way, if we have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this mocking, this ridiculing will not affect us. And yes, to follow Islam living in a non-Muslim country is very difficult. It is very hard. We are surrounded by a belief system which is completely against Islam. We are surrounded by beliefs that contravene Islamic laws, that contravene the Quran and the practices of our noble and beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied this, that this is something that is going to take place, that deen will become very difficult to follow, and so difficult that it is as if a person is holding on to a burning ember, a burning cinder. That sometimes we find deen so difficult to practice that it is exactly that. We find it difficult to offer salat in our school, at our workplace, because we are afraid at the airport, on the airplane, because we are afraid that people will look at us in a funny way. People will whisper behind our backs. But we cannot let these things deter us. We are Muslims. We must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. We must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this love. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuka wal amul allazi yuballighuni hubbak. that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you, I beseech you to inculcate your love within my heart. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this dua, because once the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permeates our hearts and our bodies, then to follow deen becomes very easy. We will not let anything become a deterrent. We will not let anything become a barrier when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and when it comes to normal people. We will offer salat at all times, whether it is at the store, whether it is on the airplane or at the airport or in a strange place where people are constantly watching. We will offer salat. We will not be afraid. So this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we need to inculcate. We need to make sure that our hearts are imbued with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what purification, this is how purification of the self can be attained. Purification of the self can be attained by making sure that all commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are obeyed and not disobeyed. And yes, it is extremely difficult to follow the commands. Someone asked me that, how can I do tilawat of the Quran? How can I offer extra nawafil? How can I do all of these things? How can I wake up for tahajjud? I told him, well, we must make a habit of it. And yes, at the beginning, at the outset, it is very difficult. It is difficult to offer two extra salat of nafil. It is very difficult to, you know, read the Quran and do tilawat of the Quran. It is very difficult to do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must make it a habit. A person who has a habit of smoking or chewing pan or doing niswar or any of these bad habits that people sometimes have, I'm sure that the first time they smoked and, you know, had this niswar and chewed the pan, they probably wanted to throw up. But later on they became used to it. It became a habit. And now they're constantly eating pan or constantly smoking. So this is how we can make it a habit. We must make it a habit. We must try to wake up. Our logic and reason dictates that, well, my sleep is more important than getting up for tahajjud or getting up for fajr prayer. My sleep is more important. Our nafs, our self, wants us to sleep. It loves sleep. We want to sleep during fajr time. But if love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permeates our heart, then we will get up for fajr. If we have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will get up for fajr, we will offer fajr prayer. We will read our Quran. We will do our zikr. We will do tilawat of the Quran. So this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be asked for. We must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this love. And then we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid from lawmata la'im. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. That perfect believers, they are not afraid of the person or the people who say that, well, you're doing something strange. They will not be afraid of being mocked and ridiculed, because they know that their salvation lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their salvation lies with obedience. Their salvation lies by following the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similar to the Sahaba. In Hayatul Sahaba, there are many stories. This is a very accepted book written by a very great scholar. And there are numerous stories of how the Sahaba had this love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even after he departed from this world, they would continue to rigidly hold on to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. Sometimes it wasn't a sunnah related to Sharia. At times it wasn't a sunnah related to Sharia. There are two kinds of sunnah. One is sunnah tashri'i, that kind of sunnah which is related to Shariat. And then there is a sunnah which is not related to Sharia, a habitual sunnah. For example, the way the Prophet ﷺ, he would get up from his sitting, or the way the Prophet ﷺ used to walk. This was a habitual sunnah. It was not related to Sharia. It was not related to deen. It was not related to the Quran. But it was just a habit of the Prophet ﷺ. It was his action. It was his normal routine. But the Sahaba, they had such love for Rasulullah ﷺ that they would make the habits of the Prophet ﷺ as their own. Because of this love. Because of this love that they had. So it is this love that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for love, for His love, for Rasulullah's love. And this will create ghairat for deen. This will create this chivalry for deen. That when it comes to obedience, we will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to our salat time, we will offer our salat. When it comes to any kind of ibadat, we will do that ibadat, regardless of who is watching. And it is this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will help us avoid evils and harms of this society. We are surrounded by evil, we are surrounded by the evils of society. It is this love, inshallah, that once we have it, once we taste this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will not disobey. We will take out the TVs from our home. Because these TVs are the worst thing. It is these TVs that have destroyed the mindset of our children. These are the harms of TVs, televisions. And the statistics, I don't even want to go into the statistics of how often TVs corrupt children. By a certain age, they've seen so many murders. By a certain age, they have witnessed so many things that they are not supposed to see. It is because of these TVs. These TVs are the worst thing. I mean, as if, you know, going to school and, you know, being surrounded by a non-Muslim environment is not enough. This TV is quite possibly the worst thing. And this is not something Islamic as well. I'm not speaking from an Islamic perspective when I say that we should get rid of our TVs. I'm speaking from a non-Muslim's perspective. I was reading an article written by a non-Muslim who said that the TV, it influences children in negative and adverse ways. And when the child is troublesome, when the child is being very difficult at home, you know, we tend to turn on the television and we let the television babysit the child. But we must understand that this child is very impressionable. He is going to be influenced. This child will be influenced in a negative way by watching this TV. And he will see things, he will watch things that he is not supposed to see, that child is not supposed to see. The harms of TV are too many. And the statistics of children watching TV and being influenced by TV in a negative manner, it will be detrimental to this child's upbringing. So we must be careful when it comes to our children. We must shield them from the evils of society. We must shield them from the immodesties of society, from the immoralities and immodesties that are seen on TV. Because once they grow up, they become desensitized. And this leads to so many harms. A child becoming desensitized, this leads to many harms. It will have a detrimental effect on any child. So there is nothing good that comes on TV. The people that are the elite, the CEOs, the businessmen, the statistic is that they watch TV 2 hours. 2 hours every week. And this is just to spread their own business ideas and mottos and their own business. But the average man, he watches TV, you know, 40 hours. 40 hours a week. That's a work. That's a work week for a lot of people. I look at the difference between a CEO and an average man who is working 40 hours a week. But he's watching TV as well. And this is why there's a great disparity. Because those people who are watching TV, who are CEOs and, you know, the movers and shakers of this country, they watch it for 2 hours. And that also just to spread their own shar and their evil and their methods that, okay, how can we advertise beer to the children and the masses? How can we advertise tobacco? How can we advertise, you know, these sitcoms? This is what they're thinking about, the movers and shakers of this country. How can we advertise this and that? And our children, they're watching this TV. We must wean them off this TV. This is very, very important. We must wean our children off the TV, find some other activities for them, instead of them sitting in front of the TV in a passive state, zombified state. You must protect our children. So as I was saying, I veered off the topic a little bit. We must inculcate the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can achieve this by reading the Quran, by pondering over it, by reflecting over it, by introspection of ourselves. That I have been given two opportunities. One is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have love for the Messenger, we will always obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will always wear the hijab, whether we like it or not. We will always cover ourselves, regardless of what people think at the stores. Regardless of how people look at me, I will wear my hijab. Regardless of how people look at me, I will grow my beard. I will dress in the traditional clothing. I will dress in modest clothing, regardless of how I'm going to be judged outside. This is what love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam does. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after all ibadat, after our salat, that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant me your love, and grant me our beloved Messenger's love. Grant me the ability to obey you in all facets of life, and keep me away from your disobedience. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khairan.